Today, Pastor Ray Bentley explores what people thought about the triumphal entry of Jesus Christ.
We believe you are more than a healer. You are more than a great teacher. You are more than a rabbi. You are even more than a prophet. You are that prophet which was spoken to us by Moses, that God would send another prophet like Moses, but greater than Moses, and this was the one who would be the Messiah.
Spread the news.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Today, some believe in Jesus, others don't. Even in Jesus' day, some believed, others didn't. As surprising as that is, in spite of the miracles, the transfiguration, the ascension, in spite of his wisdom and compassion, some didn't believe. Today, we'll explore that dichotomy and what we can learn from it.
Let's open our Bibles to the Gospel of Mark chapter 11. We are going to look at the first 11 verses. The title of the message is The Aliyah of Messiah. Everybody say Aliyah.
Aliyah.
That's a Hebrew word. And if you are taking notes and you want to write down what does Aliyah mean and why is that the title of the message, Aliyah of Messiah, Aliyah means to ascend, means the ascent. Have you ever been reading in the Psalms? And have you noticed there is a section of Psalms in your Bible that above them says a Psalm of Ascent? The Psalms of Ascent. Well, you know what, to ascend means to go up. And did you know that no matter what direction, three times a year, all of the Jewish people were to be in Jerusalem? Do you know why they were called three times a year? What was God after for them coming those three times? God wanted all of his children to be in Jerusalem at the temple so that they might celebrate the seven feasts of the Lord. And by being there three times, Passover, you had a group of feasts together, and then they would come back for Pentecost, and then they would come back for the last three feasts in the fall. But the idea was to follow and to observe the seven feasts, which means divine appointments. Why did God year after year have them go through these seven divine appointments, these seven feasts? Because all seven feasts were pointing toward the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and were fulfilled in him. So now Jesus he's been making a circuitous route. He's been in northern Galilee, way in the north of Israel, around the Sea of Galilee. Now he has made a kind of a circuitous route down to Jericho, which is down in the south. Now he and his disciples are going from Jericho, which is near, not far from the Dead Sea, which is the lowest place on the earth, and they're beginning to ascend, because they're on their way to celebrate the feasts of the Lord. And the feast they're on their way to celebrate is the feast of Passover. And Jesus must be in Jerusalem for Passover. And whenever you go to Jerusalem, you always ascend. It never says that you go down to Jerusalem, no matter if you're coming from the north or the south or the east or the west. Usually geographically, like if you're in LA and people are coming to San Diego, they say, we're going down to San Diego because we're south. But if you're in the north of Israel in Galilee and you're coming to Jerusalem, you would never say we're going down to Jerusalem. You would always say we're going up to Jerusalem. Now the reason for that is, number one, spiritually, Jerusalem represents the mountain of God, so you're always going up in a spiritual sense. But secondly, in a practical physical sense, Jerusalem is literally a city on a mountain. And the Mount Zion, so once you get to the city of Jerusalem, whether you're coming north, south, east, or west, once you finally are coming to ascend to the temple, because it's on a mountain, you have to go up. So God made it that Jerusalem, no matter which way you come from, you are going up. And this word, this idea of ascent then, what happened to the Jewish people when they were scattered to the four corners of the earth? They're scattered to all the continents of the world. God had promised that one day he would regather them and bring them back. And so they call this Aliyah. When a Jewish person even in America, says, you know what, I'm here and I'm American, but I'm Jewish and I want to go home, I want to go to Israel, and I want to have my citizenship there, and I want to live and have my family and raise my children, and this is my true identity. And you go home to Jerusalem, or you go home to Israel, they call it making Aliyah. You are ascending, and you are also going home. So it's interesting, Jesus now, what we call Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem, on the little donkey, he will obviously be ascending. So the Aliyah, the ascent of Jesus. There are large crowds, and listen to this, large crowds of Jewish people are especially looking forward to this Passover. They are gathering from all over Israel, from the north to the west coast by the Mediterranean, to the east, and all the way to the south, the dry, arid lands of the south. There are rumors and stories and a little bit of gossiping and wondering, and everybody, because of what has happened the last 3 years, when they have gone to Jerusalem for the last 3 years, there is one man who everybody is talking about. He is a prophet, a rabbi from Nazareth who does miracles, and it's been building for the last 3 years. Who is he? Is he the prophet who is to come? Is he the Messiah? Is he Jeremiah? Is he John the Baptist come back from the dead? So you have all of these Jews wondering, and it's been building for 3 years. Passover season is an amazing and prophetic picture of the Messiah's ministry to Israel, but as well to the nations. So they have come to lowly Jericho, which is very down and south and dry and hot. And there's a little winding road that, as they begin heading east, takes them to the eastern approach, which you come literally up another mountain called the Mount of Olives. And once you get to the top of the Mount of Olives, you look across a very steep, short valley, the Kidron Valley, and you see another mountain, and that is Mount Zion, upon which is the Temple Mount. So this is the setting. So read with me, or follow along as I read to you, verses 1 through 6. It says, verse 1, "Now when they drew near Jerusalem to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, and he said to them, 'Go into the village opposite you, and as soon as you have entered in, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has sat. Loose it and bring it. And if anyone says to you, "Why are you doing this?" say, "The Lord has need of it," and immediately he will send it here." So they went their way and found the colt tied by the door outside on the street, and they loosed it. But some of those who stood there said to them, "What are you doing, loosing this colt?" And they spoke to them just as Jesus had commanded, and so they let them go. What's happening here is, as Jesus now comes and he gets this little colt, Jesus is ready now to fulfill a prophecy that is very famous. All the Jewish people know it. They have been taught it since they were little children. How will we know who the Messiah is? How will we recognize him? And there were several prophecies that they kind of focused on as a clue. And one thing that they all knew is that when the Messiah comes, he will come riding on a donkey from the Mount of Olives. And so here I put in your notes the scriptures. Here's kind of a combination of two scriptures, Isaiah 62, verse 11, and Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. And let's read it out loud together. "Say to the daughter of Zion, 'Look, your king is coming to you, riding humbly on a donkey, and on a colt, the offspring of a beast of burden.'" Now, the rabbis debated the many possibilities by which the Messiah would come to Israel. And listen to this. Here's one of the things that they said. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi cast together two verses. "It is written, 'And behold, one like a son of man came with the clouds of heaven.' And it is written, 'Humble and riding on a donkey.' Then he added these words, 'If they,'" Israel, or that generation, "'if they merit,'" He will come with the clouds of heaven. If they do not merit it, he will come humble and riding on a donkey. Now, here there's several interesting things about this. Number one is that they are expressing the idea that the Messiah could come in two different ways. One, with the clouds of heaven, and there was that picture in the scriptures, and then in a completely different picture, coming and very humbly and lowly. Now, where I think they were a little bit off is when they said, if we merit it, he'll come this way. If we don't merit it, he'll come the other way. How many of you would agree that there's no way any of us at any time could merit anything before God on our own? We don't merit it. God's just going to come by his grace. But what I find interesting is that even a long time ago in the Jewish mind was the concept of two different kinds of coming. One, in the clouds, with power, with angels, with glory, with majesty, with might, with dominion, with millions and millions of his servants. And then a completely different picture, humble, lowly, riding upon a donkey. And so they, the Jewish people, in looking at that, they wrestled with what it meant. And basically, some of them came up with the idea that there must be two messiahs. One messiah, they called Messiah, the son of Joseph, he'll be the humble one and the lowly one. And then the other one that's kind of like a king and mighty, powerful, they called him Messiah, the son of David. He'll be like David, a king, warrior. So they said there must be two messiahs. What we see now through the scriptures, and by the way, the reason we're able to see this is because the ability to interpret what it was that all these prophecies and these two pictures that God had in the Old Covenant have been divinely interpreted to us by the Jewish writers of the New Testament, who were filled with the Holy Spirit. And what they said was, okay, guys, yes, there are two pictures of the Messiah, one humble and riding on a donkey, and the other one coming with clouds and power and glory. But it's not two messiahs, it's one Messiah. But it's one Messiah with what? Two comings. And the first time the Messiah will come humble, lowly, riding on a donkey, because he comes to be the suffering servant that Isaiah spends so much time talking about as the lamb, the Passover lamb, who sacrifices himself for the sins of the world. But then later he will come back, the same Messiah, a second time in the clouds with power, with glory, with heaven, and he will establish the kingdom of God here upon the earth. You see how they're similar, but a little bit different.
Pastor Ray Bentley will have more of today's study in just a moment.
We love hearing when Maranatha Radio and Pastor Ray's teachings are impacting lives.
Pastor Ray, I love your daily devotionals, especially your devotion on sharing our faith with others. I've been wanting to witness more about Jesus to my neighbors and friends, but I always get a little pushy. But your message was all about compassion, love, and gentleness. Thanks for a good lesson on how to reach others for Christ without driving them away. God bless you.
And we're so glad that Pastor Ray's teachings are helping. Would you take just 60 seconds and write Pastor Ray an email and let him know how these studies in God's Word have encouraged you? You can send that email to ray@raybentley.com. That's ray@raybentley.com.
And now more of today's message from Pastor Ray Bentley.
The Lord will be the one and was the one to remove the veil to the Jewish people several thousand years ago. All the writers essentially of the New Testament or the New Covenant were Jewish. And to this day, you know, I love it. My friend Bruce Johnston, who's here tonight and has been a partner and a friend and a brother with me, he and his wife Heather and their son and daughter David and Mallory, they lived here in Rancho Bernardo. And when Vicki and I were here, we had Maranatha. Bruce came up to me one day and introduced himself and said, hey, you know what? He said, I think you and I are supposed to be friends. That was how he introduced himself. I didn't even know who he was. I was kind of like, really? Okay. But you know what? We did. We became friends. And he had this ranch up in Northern California. And then he said, you know, God's put on my heart about Israel. He's put on your heart about Israel. And I've got this friend, Robert Mawiri, and I think God's trying to do something. And this whole beautiful, special relationship with Israel began to come together. Well, long story short, we got involved with the city of Ariel, which we've had a long history with. And then we started this program where we started inviting some young Jewish teenagers to come to America. And they spent some time with families here at Maranatha. And then we would send them up to the JH Ranch camp up there. And then they would go home. And then, you know, they would become little Facebook buddies and pals and relationships built. And it's still ongoing. And it's a beautiful and wonderful thing. Bruce had some of these, you know, Jewish kids. Here they are up at this Christian camp up there. And he kind of has them to the side. And he's asking them, letting them ask questions. You know, trying to share, here's what we believe, here's what you believe, here's what's similar, here's what's different, and being a witness. And so the Jewish kid asks Bruce, he says, yeah, I got a question. How come there's so many Gentiles that believe Jesus is the Messiah? And Bruce hadn't prepared for that, but he said the Spirit of the Lord just gave him the answer right off the bat. And he said, oh, he goes, that's easy. He goes, the reason so many Gentiles believe that Jesus is the Messiah is because the Jews told us that he was. And the kid scratched his head and he goes, what do you mean? And Bruce said, yeah, 2,000 years ago, it was a bunch of Jewish people that told us Gentile people that Jesus was the Messiah. We believed him then, and now 2,000 years later, there's a couple billion of us. And by the way, there are still Jewish people who still believe that Jesus is the Jewish Messiah. So some of you believe he is, and some of you believe he is not, but that's your problem. You guys work that out on your own. We're with the guys that said he's the Messiah. And that's a very, very good point. To this very day, there are those who do believe, as Jews, that Jesus is, in fact, the Messiah. The fact that he came lowly and humble, he came as the servant and the Lamb of God, what is the significance of riding on a donkey? Now, and by the way, in the second coming, he comes on a large white horse. But he's not even on a grown-up donkey, but a young donkey. Think of what does that look like? It means that Jesus' feet are basically dragging on the ground. In other words, he's physically low. Not just humble of heart, but literally, physically, he's close enough you could go up and touch him. Now, if he's on a horse and he's surrounded by all these bodyguards and, you know, military and this and that, you couldn't get anywhere near him. The very fact that Jesus came on a young little donkey low and near to the ground means that Jesus came because he wanted to be approachable. He wanted people to be able to touch him. If Jesus came to San Diego and people started raising from the dead and people that were blind could see and the lame could walk, and you had a chance to go up, how many of you wouldn't mind going up and touching Jesus or hugging Jesus or being with as near as you could possibly be? Well, that's what it was. But I want to speak on the other side. That makes sense. We'd want to be near him. What is amazing to me is not that people wanted to get near Jesus to touch him. What impresses me is that Jesus wanted people to be able to touch him. He wanted to be humble. He wanted to be lowly. He wanted to be approachable. He wanted to be near them. And this is very touching. Jesus wants our affection, which they lavished upon him. Some begin throwing their robes, carpeting the road with robes. What a contrast to when he will come as King of Kings, Lord of Lords, upon the great white horse. Now, they also start running around and they're cutting off palm branches and they're spreading them on the road. What does that mean? Well, I put here in your notes, it speaks of the Feast of Trumpets. Now, in the fall, there are three feasts. And the seventh feast is called the Feast of Tabernacles. And it's a very beautiful and powerful one, but it's the last one. It was on the Feast of Tabernacles that Israel was told to take palm branches and palm fronds as a part of their worship ceremony. If you want to write it down, Leviticus chapter 23, verse 40. Symbolically, the Feast of Tabernacles became synonymous with the establishing of the Messianic kingdom. Now, Jesus is at the first of the seven feasts in the spring at Passover. They're jumping all the way past the spring, past the summer, into the fall, to the last and seventh feast, which is Tabernacles. And what are they saying by this? They're saying right at Passover, we believe you are more than a healer. You are more than a great teacher. You are more than a rabbi. You are even more than a prophet. You are that prophet which was spoken to us by Moses, that God would send another prophet like Moses, but greater than Moses, and this was the one who would be the Messiah. They were literally giving Jesus the acclamation that he was bringing the kingdom of God. They are quoting the Hallel Psalms, which are the Messianic Psalms, which are sung for the 8 days of Tabernacles. And they're crying out, save now. Saved now. Look with me, read with me as I share with you verses 7 through 10. It says, then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their clothes on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down leafy branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And then those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. They're quoting these beautiful psalms. Hosannas. Everybody say Hosanna.
Hosanna.
Okay, now cry Hosanna.
Hosanna.
Okay, you said Hosanna. Now cry Hosanna like you mean it.
Hosanna.
That was better. Did you feel that? Hosanna means save now. If you had been Jewish and you're in ancient Israel and you've been under the boot and the power and the crushing weight of the Roman Empire, everywhere you went, there were Roman soldiers collecting your hard-earned money, taking taxes from you to support their empire way back there in Rome. And you had been told that a king was coming that had power and had authority and that God would be glorified and worldliness and ungodliness would be swept away and the kingdom of heaven would be coming to the earth. And you were waiting for the one who would bring that liberation. And you saw him and you knew that there was a psalm that described him coming. Hosanna, save now. They saw Jesus and they're saying, save now. Here we are tonight and we're having political rallies. We want, new vision and help bring us into better times. But this was on a national level. And for the people, they wanted a king. They wanted a savior. They wanted a Messiah. The Hebrew is Hoshea. The root word for Hoshea has the same root as the name of the man entering Jerusalem on the little colt. Yeshua is Jesus. Say Yeshua.
Yeshua.
Yeshua is Jesus' name in Hebrew. Yeshua. Yeshua, Hoshea, it means salvation. Jesus' name means salvation.
Pastor Ray Bentley, interesting insights into the mindset of the people of the first century. And there's more to come here on Maranatha Radio. Now, today's study is titled The Aliyah of Messiah. If you missed any part, you can hear a replay on iTunes or at raybentley.com. That's raybentley.com. When you first arrive at our homepage, by clicking Media, you'll see the words Watch, Radio, and Devo. Three ways to enjoy Pastor Ray's insights via video, audio recording, or daily devotions. In fact, at the very bottom of the page, you can arrange to receive Pastor Ray's daily devotions each day, automatically, at no charge. And also, you can link to his YouTube and Facebook pages. So why not bookmark it? RayBentley.com. And you'll find Pastor Ray's latest books there, too. His new books on the Mountain of the Lord and his latest, The Threshing Floor, a prophetic fiction novel. And RayBentley.com is always where you'll find the best deals on Pastor Ray's resources. You can also donate securely right there on the site. Your investments help bring the whole gospel to the whole world. Our mailing address is Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.
Well, next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Mark. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.